Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
That's all the young Zell we get today.
Damn, really thought we was going to have a young Zell party up in here, man.
Yeah. Well. We welcome you in here to the Thursday, October 23rd edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
Alongside executive producer.
What are you doing with him?
We are here, man. Just to set the table, as they say in the game here, Coach Brendan Marion is going to be with us coming up at 12:15. I say that here at what is the top of our show, so all of the journalists from both Sacramento, Montana, and the different fans of the franchises of the universities, they can plan their day.
Yes.
Coach will be with us around 2:15. He also has a lot of meetings that happen throughout the day. Sometimes that gets pushed to 2:30, 2:45. Just know that Coach is going to be with us. So if you want to clip it and what did Jake say yesterday? What's the fact check it.
Mm.
If you want to take it, I've just got y'all. It's coming up.
Yeah, man.
So y'all can do that.
Yeah. And the time for talk is almost over. That's the great thing about all the time for talk. It's almost over. They play tomorrow night, baby.
Almost. Almost. Oh, man. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, and we'll do our best. Obviously, you know, we're in Sacramento. The NBA season has started. We're talking Kings basketball. I felt, man, right around halftime, I just thought, man, I said out loud, this is just so good for us. Mm. Like this is just going to be so good for the show tomorrow. It's going to be so good for Friday. Like this, it's not going to wash away anything. There's no, we learned something. There's no, I told you. It's just, if you can, you know, I didn't think they'd hold a 20-point lead through 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the way that they were playing, they'd hold a 10-plus point lead for 48 minutes. And I felt, I just started to think, all right, close this out. You get to the fourth quarter, you still got a double-digit lead. I think we're going to be in great shape. And I think maybe for the first time, the vibes will be a little bit different on Friday. You'll have the home opener. You'll be going against the team. Obviously, Utah went out there and they beat the crap out of the Los Angeles Clippers. You're coming off of what is beating a bad. Like the Suns aren't good. Like, that's, I think, of all of the different frustrations, and there is a long list of them. The Suns are, they're awful.
Yeah, that's not a good
ball. Like, watching them play yesterday, they stink. Dylan Brooks, shut your whole ass up and make some drums, man. Your team is terrible. He ain't say nothing that whole game until they got the lead. Then he started barking at DeMar, and it's like, all right. And I'm watching it like, and I'm trying to look at this objectively like, okay, I went in here with the preconceived notion that this Suns team is bad.
Mm-hmm.
They played bad in the first half. maybe this is a good basketball team. They're not. The Kings lost to a bad basketball team, and you said something earlier, and it upset me so much that you said credit to the Suns for sticking around. And, of course, because you know what annoyed me so much about what you said is I guarantee you, Book, Dylan Brooks, Jordan, not somebody, said they're not going to keep doing this. Zach LaVine shooting like crazy. Mm-hmm. DeMar shooting like crazy. They're not going to keep doing this. They have no help on the interior. I'm sorry. Doug's big adjustment is going to go to a rookie? Guys, just keep playing ball. Just keep playing our ball. They're not going to be able to sustain this. And they didn't. They were right. And I feel like that was the message the Phoenix Suns gave each other. They're not going to be able to sustain this. Just keep playing our game. And ultimately, that's what they did. Shots stopped falling for Sacramento. The ball started moving a little bit different. Shots kept not falling. DeMar did, you know, all he could to kind of get them back on track. Zach LaVine never really found that fire that he had in the first half. Malik Monk never really found that fire. Keon Ellis, there's going to be a lot said about the minutes Keon Ellis played, or maybe more better stated, the minutes that Keon Ellis didn't play. And it's just walking away from it like, man, they had it. They had it. And I really feel like for the first time since the end of last season, it would have changed the feeling around this team heading into Friday. Instead, it just amplifies what everybody was already feeling.
Yeah, I mean, that was tough to see. Like you said, they had it. They had it right there. They were playing really good basketball in that first half. And in that third quarter, you know, the Suns picked it up and probably looked at it the way that you said. I think that's what happens a lot of the time in the NBA, outside of like the top teams, like the number one teams in the nation, or excuse me, in the league. Somebody look at Dallas last year, like, they're not going to keep playing like this in a game like that. Mm-hmm. Dallas is a middling team, which is what the Kings are. They're a middling team. They're not, you know, super sorry, but they're not a top team. And that's the message to these guys all the time. And that's also one of those things where, you know, I think Phoenix in that first half couldn't buy a three. And, you know, I was thinking this as the game was going on. Look, 20 points isn't what it used to be, or what we used to think it was being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 20 points can be cut to 10 in a heartbeat with three threes. They were 3 of 17, talking about Phoenix in the first half from beyond the arc. Pick up the intensity on the defensive end. Hit a couple more threes. They'll start falling a little bit, and we're right back in this thing. And you know, we can take them into deep waters if we need to. But that happens. You know, and I'm not excusing them at all. I think it was about a 5-6 minute window. I said earlier maybe about a 9 minute window, where Phoenix turned up the physicality in the entire game, but especially on the defensive end. I was watching that and I was like, man, they're fouling all over the place. Royce O'Neal, Dylan Brooks, Connor Gillespie, all these. I'm like, yo, they fouling, but they're turning up the intensity of that game, and the Kings had it on cruise control. Things were coming so easily to them in that first half. They took their foot off the gas, and that gave the opening that Phoenix needed to be able to get back into that game. And at that point, they had all the confidence they needed to keep that going. Like we talked about, I think the Kings did a good job of snapping out of it. And the last 9 minutes or so of that game was just the two teams competing. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it was bad basketball, whatever. Maybe. I'm not saying it was championship basketball, but these guys were competing. They were getting after it, both teams.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little, the Kings had already given them enough confidence to be able to bring that one home. That was disappointing to see.
One thing that we really didn't get to discuss with the insiders is I thought Nate Clifford played really well. Especially on the defensive end. His stat line isn't going to show, you know, the stellar, you know, rookie debut that if you look around the league, you're going to see a handful of them. It's not going to show that. But given what the Kings needed, given the fact he started, I found myself on Twitter last night because I was very curious as to who was starting for the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. So when we got that push notification from the Kings PR account, I immediately clicked on it and saw, oh, okay, Neek is going. Mm-hmm. Found some other things along the way. But that's how I got there. I was genuinely, how are they going? How is Doug going to approach this? I assumed I knew. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be Drew and Dario. Mm-hmm. DC decided to go with Neek, and it was like, all right, man, he's seeing something. But more than anything, that's a lot of trust. Yeah. Doug knows what was at stake last night. He knows what's at stake for this season. And he knows everybody. I don't know that as many people had their eye on the five spot, especially because, you know, there's already open speculation about whether Domas, I know James was talking about this. I think it was yesterday on the Insiders. Domas is going to try to play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. No, they're not saying internally, he's going to push, see if he can go tomorrow. And, you know, then you got the game Sunday. So I think the five spot is already like, all right, Domas is going to be back, and he's probably going to be back really, really soon, whether it's Friday, whether it's Sunday, whatever. He's going to be back soon. But the four spot, we know it's going to be a while before Keegan returns. So what Doug did yesterday, I thought, was going to be of great interest to Kings fans, and I don't know that he could have had a more pleasing name in the starting lineup. I know a lot of Kings fans were excited about that, and rightfully so. But given what they needed, I thought Neek delivered. I thought he had some really good defensive moments in the first half, in the game in general, but really in the first half.
Absolutely, I thought he did a good job. He rebounded the ball well for, you know, maybe playing out of position a couple of times. He was fine as a rookie. I agree with Malik. Probably want him to be a little bit more aggressive, shooting the ball a little bit, but that'll come with time. That'll absolutely come with time.
Yeah.
But I thought he was really good in the game last night. The one of the concerning performances that I saw last night was from Maxime Reynaud. And you guys know I've been a big advocate for him, thinking that he should play, thinking he should get opportunity. One of the things that I did see or hear when the draft process was going on about him was that he was soft. The game got physical, and he didn't match up. He was good offensively in summer league, but remember we talked about, I didn't like his rebounding or lack thereof, even in summer league. I was like, he's not forceful enough. 7-2. Yeah. I need you on the boards.
Yeah.
I need you dominating the boards.
I think we were doing a play by play of one of those games.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, hey, get more physical.
Yeah. And that's when it started to show itself a little bit. Last night, I talk about the third quarter, and I talk about how the Suns started to pick up the intensity and pick up the physicality. Maxine had no shot last night. No shot. Doug had to get him out immediately.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, this is the young man's first game. He can grow on this. He can grow on this. But that was concerning to see last night, because I think some of that is a little bit in his DNA about the type of basketball he likes to play. So hopefully he can, you know, grow from that, learn from it, get better. But as happy as I was to see the performance of Neek Clifford, I was a little disappointed in what I saw from Maxime Reynaud when the game got tight, when the game got physical.
Yeah, and that was a that was kind of James's thing all offseason. It's like he just might not be ready for this role. And I don't know how you increase a player's toughness. Right? Like we know it's not the same. It's not the same. But with Domas, you know, we were told by a player development coach once. It might have been Doug. Mm-hmm. When Doug was an assistant coach, mm-hmm. He's like, no, we're going to beat Domas's ass during warmups. Like, this, like when the game starts, it's going to be the easiest part of Domas's night. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the most difficult. Barbosa. And those guys in DC, they're going to make his 15-minute routine as miserable as possible. And he's going to play through it. And I don't know if that's what you have to do with Max to toughen him up, because I don't know how you toughen up a player who's entering the league for the first time, who doesn't know the physicality of the league yet, who doesn't know, you know, the physicality of other fours and fives and just the physicality in general of NBA basketball. I don't know how you handle that process in practice, mm-hmm. because Doug pointed out during training camp prior to their first game. Well, yeah, we need to go against somebody who doesn't care about us. We're going at it all day, but we care about one another. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of, he didn't use this term. There's a certain level of sensitivity you show to your teammates. No matter your competitive level, there's a certain level of like, we're teammates, we're working on this thing together. We need to go against somebody who doesn't give a damn about how we feel, whether we're bruised. We need to go against somebody who does that. So I don't know how you toughen up, so to speak, a player like Maxine Reno in practice.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And
other than send Leandro Barbosa at him,
right? And if it happens, it's not going to happen by Friday. It's not going to happen by Sunday.
Right.
This is something.
It's not going to happen by Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. It might take the entire year. It might be something where he gets his taste of NBA action, comes back, you know, after the summer, and you know, puts on more muscle. Gets used, you know, it could be a long process to get him up to speed. I still think, you know, he should play. He should get an opportunity to play. He should get out there when the opportunity presents itself. But you got to be mindful of that. You got to be careful of when you put him in those games and put him in those moments.
I think when Domas and Keegan return, those opportunities will be pretty minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if Max is a G League guy for now, meaning get minutes, go play basketball.
Yeah,
I don't even know if that helps with the end game of being tougher and all of those different things. But that was kind of a standout thing where it's like, yeah, maybe when the big fella gets back and maybe when Keegan returns, because I still think you have a lot of use for Maxime Rimino with Domantas Sabonis in the lineup. Mm-hmm. That could be really unique and may even be better suited for him right now.
Yeah.
But when they're both back, yeah, maybe not so much.
So here's the crazy thing about it, because I thought, like I said, he could play from the start. The G League might serve him well. Mm-hmm. That might help him out and get him acclimated to the professional game, get him acclimated to the physicality of the professional game a little bit more than just being on the roster and not really getting that much tick. But I thought Eubanks did an all right. Like, he did good for being Drew Eubanks. He was fine last night. Is he always going to be top flight? Of course not, because – you know, he's got limitations, but I thought he did good. He didn't hurt the team, I didn't feel like. But Dylan Cardwell, who I was not high on coming out of summer league. Like, mm-hmm. I looked at some of the things I saw from his game and I was like, that's a G League guy. He might serve better on the NBA level than Maxime Raynaud, because the things that Dylan is good at and what he was able to show last night, for a lack of a better term, those are things you don't need to work on. Like, if we send him to the G League, I don't necessarily need Dylan Carwell to work on his offensive game. Like, I don't need him to work on his drop step and do all that stuff. I need him on the NBA level to be what he was last night in that fourth quarter. A rim protector, a versatile defender, a rebounder, a finisher, you know, like lobs or, you know, dump off passes and stuff like that. He can do that on the NBA level today. Maxine needs to go down there to work on his professional game a little bit. But Dylan was really impressive. I was impressed with the way that he played last night. And as a role of a backup center or maybe even a third center in some situations once Domantas Sabonis comes back, yeah, he can do that. Like at the very least, I like to see him get more opportunity at that, because, you know, him finishing the game last night, the way it was going and how physical it was, that was impressive to me. Good job by him.
Yeah, he needs to get at the line a little bit. I'm sure DeMar will happily grab him and say, hey, man, we're going to go shoot free throws for the next 45 minutes. Because DeMar with a really uncharacteristically bad night at the free throw line. And again, when you look at, you know, storylines, right, for the Kings, like if we just blanketed this out into different stories, Kings blow a 20-point lead. Okay, there's a story. Kings shoot poorly from the free throw line in a close game. Mm-hmm. Got it. There's a story. Kings out-rebounded. Particularly the offensive end was bad. I think it was 18-9. Second chance points were, I think they had 28 second chance points, the Suns. 28 second chance points for the Suns. Mm. Storylines. Man, these all sound familiar, bro. Like how many, I mean, was it last year or the year before that they led the league in blown 20-point leads?
The year before, yeah.
Okay, well, they're great. Yay, we're off to leading the league in another category this year. These are all like recycled storylines, and if I was looking for a reason to be pessimistic or if I was looking for a reason to be upset, it'd be like we're talking about the same things we're always talking about. It doesn't... That line, we're talking about the same things we're always talking about, that's going to factor in about 10 minutes when we discuss Keon Ellis. Mm. But it's just coach, player, trade, no trade, firing, no firing. The same tendencies seem to, it's like it's Sacramento. It's like it's the jersey. It's not even the players at this point.
Right.
It's like De'Aaron Fox, he's led teams that have... De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis have led plenty of teams that have blown 20-point leads. Mm-hmm. Neither one of those guys were on the floor in a Kings uniform last night. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown was the coach 2 years ago when they led the league in 20-point blown leads. Doug Christie's the coach now. Mm-hmm. Monty McNair was the general manager. Now Scott Perry's the general manager, but it's the same thing that seems to be plaguing this team, which is the thing that I think will drive Kings fans crazy the most, is it doesn't matter who's wearing the uniform. It seems like we're talking about the same things. And that was, I wondered if, you know, when the game got close, I thought if they hold on and win by, let's say it's the Kings that win by four instead of the Suns that win by four.
Okay.
Same thing, still up 20, but win by four. I wondered if the overall tone would be negative because they blew a 20-point lead to a bad team. And, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I would love to find out. Unfortunately, we can't. But I feel like the anything other than that, a big victory would have resulted in kind of a flat response. Because last night, to me, is probably really encompassing of what this Kings season is going to be like. We just got it all in one game. We got the hot shooting. At some point, that hot shooting is going to happen in the second half instead of the first. And if it's happening in the second half, you're probably winning that game. The second half 3-point shooting. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're going to shoot 18, 19, 20% from three, and they're going to get their ass kicked. That's going to happen a lot this year. And so is the shooting 45 to 50% from three. That's good. It just all happened in one single game, which happened to be the opener.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we'll talk about it as the day goes along. I know no excuses. You play with who you play, all this other stuff. They were missing two of their starters. And in effect, because of the starters being down, they lost another rotational guy in Isaac Jones. You know, Cardwell and Maxine probably wouldn't play if everybody was there.
Yeah.
And those are the breaks. Like, nobody's crying
break
for
it
you.
Up, no, break it up, break it up.
Nobody's crying for you, nothing like that. But that's the reality of the situation as well, though. They were playing with guys that at least one guy, maybe two guys, that wouldn't even have seen the floor if everybody was there.
Yeah.
And it got them last night, combined with everything else that was going on, missed free throws and stuff like that. So,
12 minutes. A lot of Kings fans are going to be talking about that number. 12 minutes. That's what Keon Ellis played. I feel like the explanation is pretty simple, but it's not going to do for a lot of different people. I listened to Doug Christie this morning in the postgame press conference, I listened to Doug Christie, his comments last night. I listened to them this morning. Mm. And, man, they sound familiar. Mm. Which is it's just going to cause me to ask everybody some questions. So we'll do that. And we'll continue to talk Kings. We'll open up the phone lines for you. Let us know how you feel. We'll take a look around the league. We'll, you know, continue to talk about this developing story. An active NBA coach has been arrested
for
gambling. Like an active NBA coach.
Hey, where's Coach at?
Bruh. Man. We will cover all of this as best as we can here. I mentioned Coach Brandon Marion is going to be with us. It's Thursday. Matt George is going to be with us as well. Final hour of the show. We're so happy you're here with us. It's D'Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.